Welcome in to a game day edition of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with Jason Williams. We're both at Paycor Stadium following up on the Bengals' dominating win over the Carolina Panthers, and we're here to break it down as the Bengals enter their bye week, which is going to be a bye week for Jason and I as we rest up and get ready for the Bengals' second half run. But let's talk, Jason, about this game. I think you and I both heading into the game thought, they should win this game. If they don't win, oh boy. They didn't just win. They didn't. I think it's a positive that they didn't just slug this one out, right? Like,
no doubt.
They dominated from the start to the end. But then it also leaves you with the question of, well, but yeah, it was against the Panthers. And the Panthers in the first half looked like the worst team in the NFL. I mean, they couldn't do anything on offense. They couldn't do anything on defense. They look like a team that's deserving of the number one pick overall in the draft next year. But that's kind of the way things go in the NFL at times, and why you really have to see how the season shakes out before you can form opinions on what a team really is. And the Bengals have positioned themselves now where they go into the bye 5-4. They need to get healthy in a lot of areas. I mean, this bye, I know it's cliche and people say it all the time, but it really couldn't have come at a better time for the Bengals because DJ Reader's out, Ja'Marr Chase is out, Mike Hilton is out, Dax Hill is out, Josh Tupo's out, right? Like, they are decimated with injuries, but they hope once they get back from the bye, they'll get a couple of those guys back. Timeline's still TBD with Chase, but the Bengals still showed something today that they can, you know, enter a game with their foot on the gas, and, you know, expectations were that they were supposed to do so. But when you watched it, how do you feel about the 5-4 Cincinnati Bengals right now?
Well, I feel kind of the way I felt coming into the game, that they're at this point in the season, they are who they've shown us that they are, and that's a middle of the pack team in the NFL. They epitomize the NFL's parity, the NFL's mediocrity. They're 5-4. I think that, you know, they showed us some mixed signals this week in the 7 days. They're not as bad as they played in Cleveland, and they're not as good as they played here today against both of which two bad teams. And so all you can do is fall back on the fact that they're kind of a middling NFL team right now. And you look ahead, and this was the easy part of the schedule. And you finished at 5-4. And I no doubt, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned, like, there were positives today. The fact that they dominated, the fact that Joe Mixon ran hard, he ran angry, he ran with a purpose. We hadn't seen that all season. It is cliche to say, oh, you know, any given Sunday, and this is the NFL – This is a bottom third NFL team in Carolina against the rush. But we saw that, you know, stop the presses on, you know, writing the obituary on the Bengals running game for now. Anyway, I think you can build around that as at least something of a positive. And yet on the other side, you know, on the other hand, Kelsey, it was Carolina. Like you said, I mean, this is a team that, you know, very well could get the number one overall pick, which means they will be the worst team in the NFL when it's all said and done. They were terrible today. They were bad. And I'm on the flip side, they may actually be that bad, you know. So it's so hard to kind of take from, you know, I just fall back to what their record is. And that's they're a middle-of-the-pack team right now with the toughest part of their schedule. My column coming out tomorrow or on Monday on Cincinnati.com is that, I mean, I look at this schedule coming up, and at this moment, right now, at this moment, and I'm talking about right now, I'm having a hard time counting the five victories that I think they're going to need to really, really lock up that playoff position. Now, could they get in with 9 wins? Sure, the way everything shakes out. But, you know, you feel for sure with 10 wins. And, you know, Kels, like, I was just breaking it down, and you look at it, and they're two, you know, quote, you know, weakest opponents are the Browns and the Steelers. Well, they come out of the bye on November 20th and go to Pittsburgh. They've already lost to them once this year. Pittsburgh's in not good. And yet the Bengals lost to them already in the season opener. And the Bengals have lost 13 straight games in prime time on the road. The other team, the Bengals, or the Browns, you know, we know what happened there on Monday night. And that was without Deshaun Watson. Well, they're going to come here in on December 11th with Deshaun Watson as their expected starting quarterback. So I don't know. You look at it right now, and it's hard to see them being breaking kind of through that mold of mediocrity, I guess.
Yeah, well, they're going to start entering territory where you're going to have to steal wins. And that's kind of what I asked Joe Burrow. Yeah. I said, how do you feel about the second half, knowing that when you guys get back, you know, you essentially put yourself in a do or die situation because of the way the AFC is stacked. I mean, Miami won again today. New England won again today. And the Jets won again today. The Jets and Dolphins have more wins than the Bengals, and the Patriots have the same exact record, and that's another team that the Bengals have to play. So, like, there's really not a game that the Bengals can walk in and say, yeah, it'll be okay, you know, if we lose this one. I'm not saying they have to win the rest of their games, but they put themselves in an interesting predicament because they messed around and didn't win some of the games that they needed to win. Now they're going to have to steal some. So then you look at who are they going to steal a win from, right? Like, nobody's going to pick them to beat the Chiefs. Are they able to beat the Chiefs? Are they able to beat the Bills? Are they able to beat the Titans? Like, they're going to have to really get hot like they did last year. And I think Mixon getting going today is such a big story, because last year I remember covering this team. They got back from the bye week. Their first game after the bye was in Vegas. They went to Vegas and Mixon had like 30 attempts. Like, it was a game where they knew they weren't going to be able to throw on the Raiders, and Mixon just relished in the opportunity to be like the lead guy that day, and they won. And I remember they were saying, you know, this is the start for us. And you asked him after the season, you know, when do you feel like your run really started? They all pointed to that Raiders game. And so how can you not compare that last year to this, right? Like, Mixon gets going, they hit the bye for the second half of the season. The Bengals hope that they get that type of Mixon every day. Mixon isn't going to have, you know, 153-yard rushing performances every week from here on out. But if you can get 100 yards or even 70-something and you get more than 30 or 40 yards from him, and you can get up to, like, 15 to 20 carries, I think he had 21 today, then you start to stress your defenses that you're about to face. Because when this offense becomes one-dimensional, and we've talked about this so many times, and we were talking about it just you and I after the Browns game, when this offense faces a really good pass rush, they struggle. And if they don't stay on ahead of schedule and ahead of the chains, they look lost. And I think that's the biggest area. If you asked me, like, what do the Bengals need to prove to you to prove that they're a legit contender? I think it is to go beat a team without being up 14-0, to go beat a team that's good, that's potentially better than the Bengals, and show that even if they don't get off to a 14-0 start, that they can still find a way to win. Because right now it's so clear. The Bengals win when they get off to a fast start and they get up two scores and Joe Burrow barely gets touched. I mean, it's really that simple.
Right.
Because when he has more than two or three sacks, they don't win. I mean, look at the stats. I mean, against Cleveland, he was sacked 5 times and they could never get rhythm on offense because Myles Garrett was breathing down his neck. So when the Bengals prove that they can hold up against a talented pass rush and come back, even if things don't necessarily start the way they want it to, that's when I feel like I'll really learn this Bengals identity.
And that's very well put. And, you know, I want to say too, like, I've gotten a handful of emails from readers and comments on Twitter, like, people think I'm I'm too negative about this Bengals team. And it's not negativity. It's just like my job is to provide commentary and to tell the truth and, you know, not sugarcoat things and talk about reality. Like, I don't think they're a terrible team. I'm far from it. I don't think they're a great team. I don't see them right now, this moment, as being a serious AFC contender. Do I see them as a playoff team? Yeah, I think they're right there, or potentially right there. But, you know, that's a crowded field right now, and they just have not. And again, like, you know, they've three of their five wins, Kels, have been against the AFC South. The AFC South is the worst division in NFL. You know, that's the Saints, the Panthers today, and Atlanta a few weeks ago. And, you know, they still haven't played the team that was picked to win that division in Tampa Bay, which I don't, you know, they're as, been as bad as not quite as bad as Carolina, but, you know, they came in today, what, 3-5. So, but you go there in late December against Tom Brady, and anytime you can, you look at this schedule at New England on New or on Christmas Eve, and like every one of these games, you look at and you think there aren't any for sure wins on that, and from at least how I look at it, at my viewpoint. Do I see a handful of toss-ups on there? Certainly. But you're exactly right. That goes back to your point, Kels, is that they're going to have to steal some wins. I want to bring this up too, Kelsey, because I know fans are wondering or talking about this, and Zach Taylor was asked about it today. They were 5-4 at the bye last year as well, 5-4 this year, 5-4 last, completely different, completely different. Last year, they weren't facing a stretch run the way they're facing this year. Last year, they didn't have the injuries that they have this year. Last year, they were 2-1 in the division in the first half of the season, going into the bye. This year, they're winless. They're 0-3 against AFC North teams. So there's a lot of difference in comparing the 2-5-4s at the bye between the last two seasons. And this one certainly looks like a tougher task than last year's, coming out of the bye.
Yeah. I mean, those are really good points that you bring up. Completely different situation at 5-4 as they were last year. Cannot be understated how big of a loss Chidobe Awuzie is for this defense. I mean, you're now without your top cornerback, heading to play people like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson again. So that cannot be understated. And last year, the Bengals stayed really healthy, and it was an underappreciated thing. For those who cover the NFL know how rare it was last year to not have to have that type of injury luck. And the Bengals are dealing with what pretty much every other team does, is it's really hard to get through a season without, you know, losing key players at for some points of the season. And unfortunately, the Bengals lost their top cornerback for the season. And, you know, we don't know. You hope that Ja'Marr Chase comes back and is the total freak that he was before, but he also might need some time to get back to what he is. You don't know when he's going to be back with that hip injury, and hips are tricky. You know, sometimes you think that they're healed and they're not. So there's still a lot of questions about this team, but it's making for what's going to be a fun second half for us.
No doubt. And throw on after today, Kelsey, two more injuries. And I don't know what the status was after the game, but running back Chris Evans goes out, backup. And this, I think, is another hard one. Dax Hill, defensive back, goes out with an injury as well. Dax Hill is gradually gradually working his way into playing time, and certainly has been thrust into it more with injuries. But now, in an already decimated secondary, you lose him. And again, I don't know this. I don't know his status at this point. Maybe you do, but that's a secondary that can't afford any more injuries. And really, the team itself, can't afford to lose too many more key players or key backups, or the depth. And again, when you're looking at what they're looking at, down the stretch here. We've talked so much about it, and so much has been made about it, about how this team was, you know, the magical run. Certainly part of that was that they had no major injuries last year, or they had no injuries where key players were out for long periods of time. Well, those things are mounting now. They're building, and it keeps happening. And of course, that's the NFL, and that's football at any level. But you know, this team somehow, some way, like you said, has got to get a couple of key players back. And I know you've reported that DJ Reader, the defensive tackle, could be back after the bye. That will be huge for them. So we'll see how that shakes out. But I don't think anyone should downplay, anyone being like fans or, you know, people who follow the team, you know, what the injuries could be doing or could do to this team down the stretch. You know, we like to talk about fast starts and the running game and the blocking, and certainly all those things are key, but you have to also put on that list what the injuries are doing to this team as well, because it certainly it throws a whole wrench into the game planning for the whole week when you're missing a couple of key players.
Yep, and you have Dax Hill, who's played this whole time in Cincinnati, practicing at safety this week, taking reps at corner, just simply because of the numbers that the Bengals have at the position. But really good stuff, Jason. Glad we got a chance to break this down. Yeah, the Bengals are setting themselves up for what should be a fun run for all the fans and for us to cover. So be sure to check out Cincinnati.com for the next couple of days. We'll have Jason's column, my analysis coming, and then we'll try to keep you updated as always on the injuries and where the team stands. But Bengals head into their bye at 5-4, hoping to get healthy, most importantly, over this bye, and then come back and take on the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football, another primetime game. As you mentioned, Bengals haven't been great on primetime, but you hope that maybe this is the game that they can change the script on that narrative and go into Pittsburgh and win. And then you'll see where they can go from that. But first, we're going to take a bye. Jason and I are also going to be taking a bye week for Bengals coverage ourselves this week. But we will be back, like always, better than ever when the Bengals return from their bye week and get ready for their matchup against the Steelers. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.